Harness Racing, Victoria wide. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
And g'day from JT. Welcome to another edition of Talking Trots. We've just looked at the big night of greyhound racing action out at the Meadows. A big day of racing out at Flemington with the Guineas. And out at Cranbourne, we have a very good renewal of the Cranbourne Pacing Cup. We'll take a good look at that program later in this show. As I welcome in the good form teams of Blake Redden and Jason Bonington. G'day, lads.
Yeah, g'day, JT. I must admit, it feels like more than, well, it's less than 7 days ago that we had the Miracle Mile. What an awesome race it was, but it feels like a couple of weeks ago, to be honest. It's time flies when you're having fun. Bon, what a night it was. You were out there. You got to enjoy the atmosphere, and Myfield Marshall will laud him shortly. We should touch on Lazarus. He clearly wasn't at his best, but he'll live to fight another day.
Great buzz on track, of course, at Tabcorp Park, Menangle, huge crowd. And look, a couple of highlights. Great to see the emotion from both Tim and Anthony Butler. We spoke to Ants on Gatesby during the week and sort of talking to him and saying, did you think that the days were probably over where you and your bro would be able to combine for Group 1 races? It certainly probably seemed that way. Tim had scaled back the team in New Zealand, was probably looking for a new challenge. Ants, of course, we know probably 4 or 5 years ago now, emigrated over here to Victoria, has done a magnificent job. But whether they'd ever team up again for a big race was certainly up to some conjecture. They teamed up with Myfield Marshall and got the job done. And importantly, JT, they broke that magical mark of 147.5. They didn't just break it, they absolutely obliterated it. 146.9, a new Australasian Southern Hemisphere benchmark. And even though I was very confident they would break it on the weekend, I reckon it'll take a few years for it to get broken from here.
Did you're on track, mate. Did it look like they were actually going that quickly? I know the first quarter was probably not as quick as we anticipated, but then what happened is the second quarter, they didn't really slacken off, did they?
No, they didn't. And G Sugar's the candy man. He had a plan in mind, and I think his plan was, we're going to run so quickly through that second quarter, that sort of the 1,200 to the 800, which is normally the demilitarised zone where everyone can just have a Horlicks and just calm down and enjoy themselves. He just kept going during that period because he's, I think in his mind was, we can't let Anything for Love get away with a cheap run here because he defeated us last time when we let him get a breather through the middle stages. And we also want to make life utterly, completely impossible for Lazarus just in case he is at his best. All that worked, Baker. He just wasn't necessarily counting on how well Jillaby Kung Fu and, of course, the winner, Myfield Marshall, would go.
No, indeed. They both went out of this world. And, you know, it was a fantastic race. At sort of halfway up the straight, you knew it was going to be a ripping finish, and that's the way it panned out.
All right, it wasn't the only main major on the program. The Derby was won by Poster Boy. And what about this for a training effort? Emma Stewart, 1-2-3.
Yeah, you don't see many trainers train trifectas in big Group 1 races. It happens occasionally in all codes, I guess, but not that regularly in the trots for sure and certain. And Emma was able to do it. She might have done it with the Vic Bred Super Series maybe 5 or 6 years ago with Hexham Heartbeat and Beauty Secret and the team Shake It Mama, maybe.
Shake It Mama, there were about four of them around at that time. You're probably
anyway,
right. Yeah,
it rarely happens. It was a terrific effort from Poster Boy, who I think probably going into the Victoria Derby, he was, along with Lumineer, the number one seed. He was beaten in that race. I still have, you know, question marks over how good a time Colt 31 had and was able to pull off his back and beat him. He's now proven on a couple of occasions when Colt 31 can lead, he's able to run past him. So he definitely, I think, right now sits there as the best three-year-old in Australasia. Lumineer, the question mark, of course. But terrific effort from him. Tam Major was super at massive odds and major times rounding out that trifecta. So along with Carlos Pixel in the Group 1 leadership mile, it was a terrific night for Emma Stewart and Clayton Tonkin.
Yeah, look, much has been made of the fact that when they first started targeting these races at Tabcorp Park, Menangle, Emma Stewart and Clayton Tonkin, they had to find their feet. They had to pick the right horses in the right situations, and the puppet even now drives the track a hell of a lot better than I think in the very initial stages when he first started to go up there.
Emma said on Saturday night she loves Menangle.
So, yeah, she absolutely, yeah. And she, like, multiple times and told us on Gatesbit as well, I just love winning races up here. But I suspect, because we also quizzed her a little bit about, would you think, I think earlier in the week, would you consider moving up to Sydney? No way in the world does she want to go up there. But I think it's the, it's the breaking of new frontiers as well. Like Victoria, yeah, they're so dominant here. And to say, no, we can travel. We can, yeah, go to New South Wales for a Group 1 race.
Particularly when it wasn't all sweet early doors, to be able to overcome that and then prove it, you know, in the next four or five seasons that they can win the big races.
And also, they haven't, during that period of the Inter-Dominion, they probably didn't conquer the West. They probably didn't get things 100% right in terms of exactly how to manage the situation over in the West. So to be able to now travel wherever they want, they've won Group 1 races, major races in Queensland. To be able to do that, I was even speaking with Tim Butt when he was on In the Gig during the week, and that almost in his mind is the difference between the great trainers and the very good trainers. Can you travel? Can you compete against the best on foreign soil, be it interstate or overseas, and beat them?
And it's almost as much about the process as in having the right people with the horses, if it's not going to be you, knowing when to take them, how to work them, all that kind of stuff. It's not just a matter of you being able to take a horse. It's about getting all of the other things right around it.
Oaks was one of the other Group 1s on the program. This was taken out, guys, by She's All Rock, who produced a really barnstorming finish to claim the Oaks. But, gee, when you look at the time between the Derby and the Oaks, guys, the Oaks was 4 seconds quicker.
Yeah, a lot of that, all of lead time. Lead time, 5 seconds quicker than lead time in the Oaks compared to the Derby. So they were, although the Oaks, the Derby was probably a bit slow, they were moving through the early stages of the New South Wales Oaks, and you saw that with the mid-race change-up on Princess Gemma handing over to Macy Jade when Soho Burning Love came around, Nostra Villa came around. So it was, it was a real race. They ran time, and I guess it was the filly with the right run in the end that was able to win it. I've heard you speaking about the race born, and you've got a good way of talking about She's All Rock and the fact that maybe we just underrated her heading in.
Well, you see this in the thoroughbreds all the time, don't you? So a horse comes out in the off-season in the winter, puts together two or three devastating victories.
Royal Symphony.
Royal Symphony was the horse I was trying to think of, as a matter of fact, so I'm glad you brought him up. Two or three devastating wins. They get elevated quite highly in people's esteem, and you think to yourself, I just can't wait till they get to the big races. Then their first crack at Good Company, which really, She's All Rock wasn't taking on a really strong race, but got heavily defeated by Higher Than an Eagle, who just went out of this world first up from a break for She's All Rock. And you started to go, oh, all right, well, that off-season form, probably, maybe it's not going to stack up. And those wins look really impressive. But in fact, maybe this horse isn't as good as we thought she was going to be. And then her stocks have dropped, and then she defeats Nostra Villa, who's the benchmark filly in the country, in a heat of the New South Wales Oaks, but you refuse to allow her back up the scale because you think to yourself, oh, maybe I was made half a fool of by elevating her so highly in the first place. I don't want to immediately say she's as good as Nostra Villa. She had a softer run on that occasion. She was able to use her turn of foot. But the truth is, she was the only one to come from back in the field in that heat as well. So while she only just beat Nostra Villa and Nostra Villa was kicking back on the line, it was a really meritorious win, and she went right on with the job. Terrific drive by Mark Pitt, but there's no doubt she is extremely high quality, and really the esteem which we held her in after those first two starts is panning out. She's fulfilling it right now with that Oaks win. I still think Nostra Villa is the benchmark at the moment for the fillies, but we're going to learn a lot more, and it makes the Vic Bred Super Series, the Breeders' Challenge, the Breeders' Crown all the more exciting.
Did it does, Bonners. The Bohemia Crystal free-for-all Group 1 over 2,400 metres. Franco Nelson got the job done. San Carlo, from my perspective, was a really solid run.
He was super. I mean, he raced the gate, which we haven't seen from him a lot. We saw it in the Maryborough Cup and also in an Inter-Dominion heat, but he was able to be driven really aggressively, shut the gate on Franco Nelson early and got to the front, and his run was really good. Franco Nelson, we'd already heard from Shane Tritton what a big opinion the team have of him, and we know, you know, going through his New Zealand form and his best form, he's as good as most horses around, so he's a really good benchmark. He was able to get the better of San Carlo. I thought he was probably going to win by a bit further, but San Carlo did fight back the last 50 metres, and that's a really good sign heading into tonight's Cranbourne Cup. But I think it's also a warning of what's to come for the horses at that top level. The Miracle Mile, in many ways, is a one-off race. Not many sprint races for the open-class horses. These two are horses that are proven to stay, and I think when we're looking towards Inter-Dominion time and races of that nature, they will start to come into their own.
I got swept up a little bit in the hysteria around Franco Nelson straight after the win. And look, to be fair, I still am. Last three runs is preparation, smashed Myfield Marshall over 2,300 metres, who subsequently went on and was to win the Miracle Mile, then produced the fastest final half in the same Miracle Mile qualifier as Myfield Marshall. And Shane Tritton really bordering on despondent that Franco Nelson didn't make the Miracle Mile, and then he comes out and wins like that. But on with you, both you guys, as a matter of fact, that San Carlo's run was excellent. The more I've watched the replay, even though he was able to find the front, he worked to get there. He worked once he found the front, and his performance was really outstanding. Aztec Bromac was also very good. Mac Doro, not bad, off a cold sit. But that's going to be a really high-quality race. Quite often, the Bohemia Crystal Free-for-All is a long way below the Miracle Mile in terms of the quality of the form lines. I don't think that will be the case this year, JT.
I think you're right, mate. And finally, the Charlton Pacing Cup was on last weekend, and Clancy's Fobwatch produced a good finish to claim the race.
As I like to say, he arrived in time, Clancy's Fobwatch. It was, look, the race panned out for him. There was good mid-race tempo. He got the right run into it, but he proved the start before that knocking off Cruz Bromac's a pretty good form line, and he was able to get the job done. Interesting track, Charlton. Probably has a reputation for being a leader's track, but you can get these races where they do sort of slingshot out wide and sort of come into it at the right time, and that was the case in the Cup on the weekend. He'll have another test in the Cranbourne Cup tonight, Clancy's Fobwatch, but a really good win from him. And also the boss man who won the Charlton Trotters Cup, a lot probably panned out for him early there with Sky Petite galloping. She went huge, but he got the job done quite convincingly, and he'll go around in the Night Pistol.
Yeah, just back on Clancy's Fobwatch, he's had a really outstanding career, strange career. He didn't look like much of a horse at different times in Victoria, went to Tabcorp Parkman Angle, became a 48, 49 kind of a miler. Now he's winning races over the long trip. He's just having a great little period now, but he's had a great career, really. Whether he can step up to be competitive with some elite horses like Shadow Saxon San Carlo tonight, we'll talk about a little bit later. I'd say maybe not, but certainly if he can win this race, who knows? Who knows what might be the limit for him over the next 12 months?
That line was no good, was it, Bonners?
The arrived in time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Geez, I'm not sure about it.
Talking Trot's Run of the Week.
Stand-up comedy, leave that alone, Blake. 3-2-1, who's got the one vote?
That's how it's going to be. I'll do the one vote. Call me Hector, we're going back to Charlton again.
Yeah.
He was driven tough. It was a strong, good race. The Brooklyn Brawler comes out of it and will go round favourite in a $30,000 three-year-old tonight. So the form line looked strong, but the way he went, Call Me Hector, he was 40-1, but he won't be 40-1 wherever he goes next time.
It was a strange price for him, really, I would have thought. I know the Brooklyn Brawler and a couple of other handy ones were there, but he was an impressive winner prior to that, and a very good horse in his early juvenile days. Variants. There's the two votes here. A very talented trotter and has always showed plenty of ability, but his run in the Tontine Trotters Championship at Beckley Park on Saturday night was outstanding. You were just thinking he can't keep going here. He's going to drop off at some point and it's still going to be a big run. And you always know it's an outstanding performance when you're waiting for that to happen and it doesn't happen. He was beaten by a Group 1 horse in Delta Sun on the night, but I don't think we've seen the back end of Variance, who goes around, I think, early next week, potentially. Three votes for you, Baker Boy. We'll leave it up to you.
One for the cyclists here.
One for the cyclists.
Share the Road from Shepparton during the week. A mammoth performance. Was beaten on Australian debut when I thought he probably had a little bit in hand, and he came out. He was driven very tough. And she just monstered them. So that won't be her last win in Australia. Expect to see her head straight to the top. Share the Road.
There's the three votes. What about the drive of the week, guys?
There's only one man it could be. As Bond sort of outlined last week, although Chris Alford has had another record-breaking week, I think he drove six winners on Thursday, all told. But
You're sharing the love.
And Tommy Hill, I think, was a bit of a favourite from gate speed on Tuesday. He's sort of only come into the game in the last few years. He doesn't have a really deep history in the sport, but he started driving and he hadn't had a winner in his first 20 or 30 drives. But on Monday night at Melton Bond, he drove aggressively with Warminster. He sat parked and he boarded up the leader down the back and was too strong for them. And good to see Tommy get his first winner.
Yeah, and you best bet at a two, I reckon, Baker. So well done to you as well. You know what I was just thinking then? When you said there's only one man that this could possibly go to, you know, one of those Academy Award type situations where the puppet's sort of halfway up his chair, he's ready to go and accept his award. And then he's saying the award goes to Tommy Hill. But no, he was wonderful on Gatesby during the week. His enthusiasm, how happy it made him. He got himself a quarter pounder and maybe a little bit of a happy meal on the way home to celebrate.
I wonder if he's had his first drink.
And he's off the punt and he's off the drink. And we appreciate said, that, because they're very hard things to get off.
He did say when he had his first winner, he was going to have a drink. So
yeah, so terrific for him. And hopefully now he reassesses his goal, stays in the sport if Graham Lang gives him a few more drives. And maybe we can get 5 or 10 winners up for Tommy.
All right, guys, we'll take a break here on Talking Trots. The other side of this, we'll take a good look at tonight's Group 2 Cranbourne Cup card.
Across Victoria, RSN 927 is Talking Trots. It's how we roll. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
Let's get stuck into tonight's program out at Cranbourne. Gee, you haven't got very far to go tonight, Bonners.
Except for the fact that you're in the studio at RSN and you've got to travel all the way back.
Yeah, but that's all right. At least I get to catch up with Bella for a little bit, take it down to the playground, I would have thought, before I head off to the trots. And it's only, as I often say, a serious torpedo punt from my house in Ranfurly Boulevard. So very much looking forward to the action. It's a wonderful night. It's actually the Metropolitan program of the weekend. It's not just the Cranbourne Cup. The races last night at Tabcorp Park, all country fronts
there
bar
was
one. The trot, the TMO to TM1. Baker trying to interject there, not knowing that I'm well across it, my brother. And yes, so there's some very good races, not just the cup, but the whole card's very strong this evening.
Yeah, you put him back in his place, blue suit. Now
He loves to do it.
The first goes at 6:25, lads. We take out Slugger number two. Who's going to win the first?
That changes everything, John. Yeah. I don't know how Bond's going to rate this race now. Special Dream can probably fly across him at the start, can he?
That's one of the beauties of checking the website and getting the early scratchings, guys.
It's true. Mm.
I'm utterly
Hunting
confused
101.
Now. I'm utterly confused now. I'm going to say one. I'm just going to stick with my top four and remove Slugum from the equation. But the whole philosophy here was that Slugum was going to lead and Shady Secret would get the gun run behind the leader. I'm going 1, 9, 7, and 6. Still Whirly School. Still follows through a relatively quick beginner. It'll be interesting to see what Shady Secret does do now. I'll have to go back through the speed maps in terms of Hold On, who doesn't have much. Lanista has some good gate speed. Ella Michelle probably won't use hers. You might be right. Could be a Special Dream that decides to fly off the arm. And if a Special Dream does find the front, obviously well in the mix. So, look, if you're playing early quarters, I'll be boxing up 1, 9, 7, and 6, having them all in the first leg. I still think Shady Secret's a serious winning hope, but certainly now whoever leads, Slugum is the kind of horse that doesn't mind one running past him. A Special Dream is probably racing in superior form. So if he were to find the front, he'd be a very tough nut to crack, Baker Boy.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what price he comes up.
Marnian might also come out for a little look, but probably wouldn't get past a Special Dream.
Nah, I reckon he's near a good thing, Special Dream now.
Yeah.
Second event is a claim up over the 2080, and they're all running.
Macruiser will win this. It sounds pejorative, but I did say in the form comment it's a little bit like dropping from the AFL down to the VFL again. He was taking on Maxi Men and Keying Stars last time. From a claiming perspective, they're the elite claimers. This is the next level down, and Matt Cruiser has proven over a long period of time since emigrating here from Queensland that he handles these pretty much every time he races them. So I can't see why that wouldn't be the case again tonight. Leads and wins. The battle for second will be between, I reckon, might be Luck number two, who couldn't be racing any better, just keeps finding one or two better than him on the night in this level, or at this level, in this grade. And Beach Boy Adios, who's first up for Bulldog Nicholson, of course, previously trained by Dean Braun. The only other one you'd have to include prominently in the mix, I think, for Exotics is number three, I'm Intense, because it's a good chance of finding the front first and then handing over the ascendancy to Matt Cruiser. Pat a big strike, creates interest from Queensland. Classy Western's got the ability on his night, still Baker, if they run along in transit, but I reckon Matt Cruiser's close to a good thing. 4, 5, 2, and 3.
I like your first four there. I'd probably play a standout trifecta with Matt Cruiser and then play a saver as a roving banker.
Mm. Third race, guys, C1 over 2080. They're all starting. Well, I suppose the problem here is Phoenix Prince is going to be deep into the red.
He'll be deep into the red, and look, he doesn't want to do what he did at Beckley Park last weekend, where he decided to play a little trick at the start.
Didn't he savage the line?
And give them a 50-metre head start. He was up against, moderate opposition, very moderate opposition on that occasion. So he was able to make up the 50 metres and still win by 20. He wouldn't do that here if he gave them 50 metres, but to be fair, I think he's a future. He's at least a Metropolitan horse. He could be a Group 1 horse. The Puppet, of course, replacing Russell Meisner, who drove him to success in that junior drivers race last weekend. I've thrown him for second, Jack William. I just like the horse. I know he's got quirks. I know he can pull sometimes, and he's got a few little tricks, but I've thrown him in for second. Ahead of Convert Denario, who was... Look, he got the job done last up, but it wasn't
nice
overly
horse.
Impressive. You reckon?
Nice horse ran second to it.
Yeah. And look, they've had an opinion of Convert Denario right from the word go. So potentially it's the other one you need to throw in on that second line of betting for your trifectas and first fours. And then beyond it, Reclusive, I've got in for fourth, one of the locals who I think has got a fair bit of ability, nicely bred, just has that poor draw to overcome. 8, 6, 4, and 7.
I'd nearly play a straight trifecta with Convert Denario second and Jack William third.
Okay. 8, 4, 6 in the plonk there. Trifecta race 3 for the Baker Boy. Race number 4 for the Mares. Soho Angel is out of this race, reducing it to a field of 6. Does that have any impact on the event, Bonus?
It does. And look, so I don't think so. Flying Moth would have been my top tip regardless, but it just makes it easier for Flying Moth potentially to get across at the start. Medicine Louise has really good gate speed, but I do think it would probably be willing to hand up to Flying Moth, who has gone 154 and change in successive successes. That's the mark of a good horse.
Successive successes.
Yeah, a little bit of alliteration there.
No, just it's almost replication.
So both of those, like those, that time 153, I class as proper high class metropolitan time over a short course trip. 154 is very close, and when you factor in the fact that Flying Moth was 3 and 4 wide to the breeze last time, it was more like a 53, even high 52 type win. So it was a really big win to Flying Moth, clear on top selection. I've got a huge opinion of Misty Cullen. I reckon Misty Cullen's going to be a very, very good horse. Small field, short course, wide draw. They all probably going to conspire to make sure she can't win on this occasion, but I'd be following her over the next 6 months for sure. Mantidee, I've thrown in for third, and for fourth, Fire a Shot, one of the locals. But all things being equal, Baker Flying Moth should lead and win.
Probably. I sort of...
Probably.
Went with a divergent opinion to yours on her last win immediately after the race. Going back and watching it again, she was
big.
She was huge. So, yeah, she's clearly on top. I do have a lot of time for Fire a Shot. I'd definitely be playing it in the top bracket of your trifectas for second.
First of the Group 1s tonight, lads, is the Night Pistol over 25.55. There are no scratchings. Fixed odds market up with Tab here. Sparkling Success, no prizes. $1.70 favourite. Red Hot Tooth is at $4.20. $8.50 Covelli Blur. And Hey Yo is at $9.50. Legitimate $1.70 pop. Bonus?
Based on the trial.
$1.90. $1.90, $2 maybe. To be honest, you have to look at this race and say Red Hot Tooth started favourite in the Great Southern Star.
Did she?
She was $3.10, an easing favourite, but favourite in the Great Southern Star, the $300,000 major race, of course, for Square Gators in Australasia. Nothing went right for her that night. She was way off her best. Sparkling Success won the race. Should there be as much between them here? Well, the problem that we've got is that Red Hot Tooth has got a grand Group 1 assignment next weekend in the Breed for Speed Gold Series final. Is this her grand final? Is that her grand final? Or are both of them grand finals? That's the interesting factor.
Both.
If they are, then Red Hot Tooth can win the race. Red Hot Tooth has got devastating early speed. She should get across them early. And if she's exactly where you want her to be, she can lead here. Sparkling Success would breeze. And I think Sparkling Success would find it very hard to get past
Big call.
Red Hot Tooth. I'm still going with Sparkling Success on top. Red Hot Tooth, a clear second pick. Only potential blowout horse if they carve each other up is Kai Valley Blur, the Dullard Cup winner. But we know he needs to be driven pretty conservatively these days, so tempo is so crucial to his winning hopes. And I've thrown him for fourth cruising around. We know on ability he could be winning the race, but his killer instinct, it's in question at the moment, the local. 2, 6, 8, and 1 for me in the Night Pistol.
Really interesting race. I think the odds makers have pretty much sorted it. I would probably have them a bit closer.
Yeah,
maybe Hot Tooth a bit shorter. Sparkling Success maybe $1.80, but I'm quite keen to watch it and learn a little bit more from it.
Make sure you give that feedback to Quinny Bonners later in the morning.
Tick for the odds makers.
Yep. Caduceus Club Cup for the 3-year-olds is race 6, second leg of the quaddie out there at Cranbourne tonight. The Brooklyn Brawlers, $2.50, fixed with Tab. Smart Little Shard and War Dan, $4.80 each of two. Bonsell Benjamin, $6.50. And Joe Nian is at $7.50. Bonners.
It's been some David Lynch movies, some episodes of Twin Peaks less confusing than the sixth race on the program, let me tell you. I've gone 4-2.
Sure?
Well, they can get pretty confusing, but this is right up there. 4-2, 1-3 are my numbers. Brooklyn Brawler, we mentioned earlier, as a matter of fact, in our runs of the week, I think, potentially, with Call Me Hector, finished second at Charlton on Sunday. He's competed at a very high level. Look, he's your benchmark horse and your roving bank you were talking about before in one of the other races, because you know... Well, the name is correct. He's a total street fighter, the Brooklyn Brawler.
Ironically, do you know who the Brooklyn Brawler is named after?
Yeah, it's Steve Lombardi, isn't it?
I think so. The, The wrestler.
Yeah.
So there you go. The wrestling fans out there.
And he is a brawler, no doubt about it. He loves to just go one speed, and he's happy to do it from the breeze and just keep going and keep going. If he gets the front tonight, and I don't think that's an inconceivable possibility, then he definitely will win the race for mine. If he has to sit parked, we've seen he can be vulnerable. He'll run a massive race. Whether he wins or not, it's up for some conjecture. Smart Little Shard's a nice horse. Three wins from its past four starts. It's trialled well in preparation for this event. Number one, Magical Mover, I know that Baker will touch on, has the ideal draw. Was a good win over a handy horse on debut, and not bad in third last time out. And three, War Dan's the most interesting runner, the full brother to Caribbean Blaster, who in its first couple of starts you thought, real nice horse, has since sort of plateaued, taking on some really high quality opposition. It might come out here and blow these away, and equally it might come out and miss a place. So that's part of the confusion and the perplexing nature of the race. Baker 4, 2, 1, and 3 for mine.
If I was certain about what was going to happen with the speed map, I'd go close to declaring Magical Mover. If not, say he can't be beat, he can't miss a place. There's some chance that a horse like Smart Little Shard gets across him and hands up to the Brooklyn Brawler if he pours the pressure on. So it does become a little bit confusing, but I think Magical Mover is a nice horse, and I think he's still a really good each-way bet in the race.
Yep.
Feature of the night is the third leg of the Quaddy Guys. Group 2 Cranbourne Cup 25.55. Mr. Wickham is an early scratching here. Fix with Tab. Shadow Sacks 2.50. San Carlo 2.70. Massini 5.50. Clancy's Fobwatch is at $7.50. It was a bridge too far for Shadow Sacks, the Hunter Cup, back to a much more palatable race. San Carlo, we mentioned him last start, but I suggest the race doesn't end there.
No, look, I'm happy to say here I'm going with my heart a little bit over my head.
He is the best of good things.
San Carlo?
Yeah, the best of good things.
Shadow Sacks, no?
No, unbeatable. He'll sit outside of him, beat him.
Yeah, I hope so. Jeez, I hope so.
He will.
Now, it'll make my night of cramping 100% better, let me tell you.
A little bit vulnerable to a Massini.
I love him so much, San Carlo. I haven't loved too many horses more than I love Murray. And I hope that he sits parked and wins. I reckon my head tells me that Shadow Sacks is going to be extraordinarily tough to beat. That Hunter Cup run, of course, is a big, frightening question mark, I think, for everyone. He went too bad to be true, in my opinion. Despite blazing off the arm, he was beaten a long way from home. So he'd want to improve significantly on that. But the way the race is going to pan out, you would imagine Shadow Sacks will be in front, San Carlo will be breezing. From there, I think we've discussed this during the week, Baker, in at 400 Epsom Road, that San Carlo probably does need to apply the pressure at some point, and that will create an opportunity potentially for Massini, who's leading the Country Cups table at the moment in pursuit of that $25,000 bonus. Mm. I don't think that Clancy's Fobwatch can win the race, but he's the other one, potentially, if everything opened up, if the Red Sea's parted for him, I think that Clancy's Fobwatch could potentially win the race. But I'm primarily playing around the top two, and I'm hoping that San Carlo will win, and you're even more confident than me, 5, 4, 9, and 8.
Yep, all in San Carlo for your quaddies, one out.
Anchor. Ooh, look out.
One more anchor to come.
And I was about to say, well, if you're very bullish in the third leg of the quaddy, I think we can just double down here in race number 8 for the MOs. 2080 is the trip, the Renault Scratchings, and Sam's the Master. Tick.
He's in the sin bin if he doesn't win, I'll tell you that.
Good call.
He's a very, very highly talented horse. He has quirks. He can pull extraordinarily hard in his races. Greg Sugars has been more willing in recent starts to let him run off the arm. The last start performance looked disappointing on paper because he was heavily backed, but Brello's pass seems to have gone to another level in his last couple of starts, so maybe we can forgive him. This is an unbelievably ultra-suitable assignment. Should lead and win. Beau Reeve should really run second from behind the leader. And beyond that, you've got Striking Beauty and Nicky's Idol, who should clean up the trifecta there, Baker. It looks a pretty simple race on paper. Hopefully it pans out that way, 3-1-2-5.
Yep, I'm happy just to play your quaddies one out in the last two legs.
Simple as that. $16,000 trial. Race 9, guys, for the 2-year-old colts and geldings over the Flying Mile. Trial, we've got only two horses that have got career starts here. What does the trial form show us, guys?
It's confusing because About Time and Catch a Moment have both won trials at Shepparton. Catch a Moment went quicker, About Time looked better. So it's intriguing, really. Obviously, they're both with Nathan Jack, so you follow the market, don't you? I mean, there's going to be a push one way or the other. And have we got a driver declaration there in terms of which one Nathan's driving?
Catch a Moment.
Well, that's interesting. That makes me nearly switch around here. But I've gone 2, 4, 5, and 3. Either way, Soho Thunderstruck, he's got the race experience on its side, whether it's thoroughbreds or pacers or trotters. I prefer horses with race experience at this level, and he's tackled Major Exclusive, a horse you've got a huge amount of time for on both occasions and hasn't been far from him on either occasion. Of course, both of them got beaten by Sher Creek in a very strangely run race last time.
Are you a Sher Creek man?
No.
Shuey? I just meant how you pronounce it.
No, sure, I would have gone for
really?
You.
No, I said Shuey.
Sunny End. 2, 4, 5, and 3, my numbers. We salute you, goes in for fourth. A horse that I think Andy Geth got an opinion of, but would need to improve on the debut performance to be threatening here.
But you almost touched on that race experience better for it. Could account for some sort of improvement.
Yeah.
But happy to watch them go around. Soho Thunderstruck, definitely the horse to beat.
And the lucky last for the trotters, who wins?
Baker and I are both into this. Rock tonight, I reckon. 6-3.
Oh, you're into it too?
6-3, 2-1. I've got him on top. He's off 30 metres. He'll begin quickly. Small field means he'll be tacking on soon after the start. And I reckon Ants might just say, let's go foot flat to the floor and might even rip around them and find the top.
Yeah.
And if that happens over the 25-75 at Cranbourne, I reckon it wins. But this is a good race. This will be a really good form race going forward.
Interesting, a lot of younger horses or less experienced taking on the staying trip.
Correct. But they've got no other choice if they want to go around at Cranbourne. It's 3 for Claudius Prince in for second. And Hellbound and Winebrow Wasted both look like they're pretty handy, and they're the two inexperienced ones that you refer to. 6-3, 2-1 to finish us off.
Yep, I'm with Rock tonight.
Best bets, guys.
Baker?
I'm happy to go San Carlo just because I think he'll win. Place bet on Magical Mover, if not 1 by 3. And, yeah, we can finish off with Rock tonight. What do you think?
I reckon you got 4 Stone Cold winners here. 4, race 2, number 4, Matt Cruiser wins race
24.
3. Race 3, number 8, Phoenix Prince. Race 4, number 4, Flying Moth.
44.
And race 8, number 3, Sam's the Master. So you can, Baker's almost doing a bingo type situation here with it. But basically, if you want to all up those 4 runners, it should be pretty painless, JT.
And then we throw it in Winks and Fanta Bale. Happy days.
I actually think Rip and Sam will give Fanta Bale a test tonight.
Oh, that's a horrible thing to say, Blake.
No, well,
the million-dollar girl, 11
we'll
Group 1s on the
we'll
line.
We'll see.
And Roarability for me in the actual Australian Cup. Who do you like there, Baker?
Chasing Crackers.
I reckon JT likes it as
well. Oh, yeah, so. I think it's his first G1. But, be a big night out at the Meadows for the doggies tonight. Where do we get all the form for Cranbourne, lads?
Goodform.trot.com.au. I'll get it done even earlier than normal. I'll be on the train back to Cranbourne. It's one of the worst metro lines going around, but hopefully we'll have no delays and I'll get home in time for the races.
Don't you love Metro?
Yes.
We love Metro. No. Have a good night at Cranbourne, lads.
Thanks, JT.
Thank you, lads. Well, that's another edition of Talking Trots done and dusted. JT saying a very good morning to you. Trent Massenhelder has the latest in the world of sport coming up in just a moment. Greg Miles, the other side, with a trainer talk hour looking at the big G1 action out at Flemington featuring the Australian Guineas.
You can hear the replay of the best of Talking Trots at rsn.net.au.